We'll take our text from verse number 21, the last verse of Ephesians 3, verse number 21. We'd like to speak on the subject, calling out of the first church. And I think it's really important to understand when the church was organized. Sometimes we don't think about that too much. I don't. I just go and do what I'm supposed to be doing and don't realize the importance that the Lord has placed upon His own church. But the Lord is doing things with His church. He wants us to be faithful and true to Him, to understand what He wants us to do. That's really what He wants us to do. And so let's read in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3, and we'll begin our reading in verse number 16 and read down through verse number 21. Ephesians 3, verse number 16. That He would grant you, this is the great thing, that God would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer. Our precious Father, I thank You, Lord, for the day that You've given to us. I thank You, Lord, for this time set aside that we might be able to worship You. Lord, I pray that we might be able to see, Lord, in short reading of this passage, what You're able to do for us. We can't do anything of ourselves. Lord, we know You can take care of things. And I pray, Lord, that You might watch over us and help us understand that we might be true to You. Pray, help us today as we preach. Help those who are saved, those who are lost, that Your will might be done in them. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. There's many things that we ought to notice in this passage. There is, first of all, a prayer that the Apostle Paul is praying for the whole church of Ephesus, for the whole group, that they would all be granted according to the riches of the glory of God, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That's Paul is desiring that these people understand that God wants them to grow up in faith. That's really what he's saying here. In verse number 17, he makes this even more apparent. He said that Christ would dwell where? In your hearts. How? By faith. That's how it works. That Christ would dwell in your hearts by faith. And that you're rooted and grounded. How? Rooted and grounded in love for the Lord. Love for Him. And for each other, we might add. We need that. But the beginning of loving each other is loving God first. That's where it is. In verse number 18, he says this. May be able to comprehend. And this is a challenge. May be able to comprehend with all saints. So, you won't be special when you're able to comprehend what everybody else already knows. All right? But notice what he says. What is the length? What's the breadth, the length, and the depth and height? That's four dimensions, not three. We live in a three-dimensional society. Length, depth, and height, that's it. Space is past, time is past, present, future. And there's all kinds of things like that. But here, Paul wants him to understand things that are spiritual. He wants him to understand this and to dwell in that. And there's a reason for that. In verse 19, if you don't grasp things that are spiritual, you'll never grasp the love of God. That's what it says. And to know. See, use that term, and to know. Positively, you can get a hold of this thing and hang on to it. You can know the love of God. That's what he's saying. And that love of God passes knowledge. Boy, that's the truth. You know that so. You are about as worthless as I am. We're no good. Neither one of us have anything to brag about except Jesus who loved us. That's it. That's all we've got. But we can know the love of God, which passes the knowledge. It does. The love of God is something that I don't think I can get a hold of that. I can hardly grasp that. You know, I know my wife loves me. Sometimes I wonder why. I really do, because of me. But why in the world would God ever love us? Why? Because he loves us. I've not done anything to deserve it. Not one thing. But God loves me. And the reason is that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. This is the way to live a godly and a holy life. That's it. In verse number 20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Let those words settle in your heart and your mind. Now unto him that is able, he is able to do exceedingly abundantly. I think Paul is running out of adjectives here. Exceedingly abundantly. Above all that we ask or think. Wow. Can God really do that? Can God take care of you when you can't take care of yourself? Can God do that? He can do that. And he wants you to know that that's so. All of that works according to the power that is, that worketh in us. That's God's own power that works in us. Then he says in verse 21, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. I tell you what I believe. I believe the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will be here upon this earth as long as the earth is here. That's what I believe. I believe it's here. I believe the church is organized during the ministry of Christ, not before. I believe that the Lord gave it power to go out and to be conquerors. I believe God wants us that are believers. He wants us to be members of one of his local churches. And I believe that the Lord wants us to go forth in the power of his word and to be a real light in this wicked world in which we live. And we can do that if we do what God wants us to do. But today, we're speaking on the subject calling out of the first church. But I'm reading in the book of Ephesians, right? The book of Ephesians is not when the Lord called out his first church. It's not. Time has gone on since the Lord called out his first church. But many today do not understand about the church at all. They don't understand. Unto him be glory in the church. By Christ Jesus, throughout all ages. They don't understand that. When I say that, sometimes you can see people's eyes as they just blank over. I've seen that. And when you're saying, it just goes over their heads. But that's where the power is. That's where the power of the Lord Jesus Christ is in the church. Let me ask you this question. When was the church organized? When? I mean, you can figure it out. It's no problem about, and it's no problem at all. And you won't be reading in the book of Ephesians either. You read in the four Gospels. In the four Gospels, when the church is organized. When Jesus Christ called out his disciples. That's when it was organized. In the four Gospels, it's where you'll read about John the Baptist. They called him Baptist, not because he was a Baptist, well, he was, but they called him a Baptist because he baptized. It was a term of derision. Where do you read about taking the Lord's Supper? Where do you find that? You must go back to the four Gospels to understand that. So you understand about John the Baptist by reading the four Gospels. You can also understand about the Lord's church. Where do you get baptism from? Where does that come from? You must go back to the four Gospels. You must go back to those four. Where do you read about the Great Commission? That's the marching orders that the Lord gives to the church. Where do you find that? Well, you'll find the orders are in the four Gospels. You'll find it carried out in the book of Acts. I mean, look at that. Let's go back to the book of Matthew, chapter number four. Right after Matthew chapter 3 talks about John the Baptist as he was going out and preaching. And John the Baptist was the one that baptized Jesus Christ. So those things are right there. Jesus Christ was not baptized in order to be saved. That, a lot of people believe that baptism is what saves you. That is one of the most ludicrous ideas that you ever come up across. When you were saved, were you saved when you were underwater? I wasn't. I was saved before I got in there. Actually, I told the church this a lot of times. I'll tell you again today in case you forgot it. But I'm afraid of water. And so I don't like to put my head underwater. I don't mind taking a shower. I don't mind taking a bath. But I don't like to put my head underwater. You know what they wanted to do when I was baptized? The first time? They'll put my head underwater. Boy, you're not doing that. I was afraid. I wouldn't let them. The next time, however, I prayed many, many times before I was baptized so that I would be able to do that. Now, everybody's not afraid of water. I know some people love water. I don't. I don't care for it at all. That's just a drink. I drink it. But here in this place, in Matthew chapter 4, in Matthew chapter 3 is where Jesus baptized, where John baptized Jesus. And then in Matthew chapter 4, talks about the temptation of Christ. And then right after his temptation is over, in Matthew chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 12, Jesus heard that John was cast into prison. And verse number 17, Jesus preached and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God of heaven is at hand." And then in verse number 18, Jesus Christ began to call out the people to follow him. These were people that were already scripturally baptized. They already had the baptism of John. He called out. He saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. So there, Jesus Christ is calling out saved, scripturally baptized people that he's putting into the church. In verse number 21, "And going on from hence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, and the ship was Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. They immediately left their ship and their father and followed him." And so Jesus Christ, he had his church all around him. At the very beginning, there was just a few of them. As time went on, he added more and more. That's the way that it works. And you understand that Christ wants to get glory in his church. In this small group of people, that's who Christ wanted to glorify and honor him. Just like us. There's none of us that are special at all. None of us. We're all just sinners saved by grace. He has touched our heart. He has shown us the truth of his word and his will. And he wants us to always yield to whatever he wants us to do. That's it. Jesus Christ called these unto himself, setting them in his church, giving them instructions that they might be right with him. You still got your place in Ephesians chapter 3? Well, I'll turn back just one page. Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians 1, verse number 22. And here's what he says here in this place. Ephesians 1, verse number 22 and verse number 23. Look at this. This is a wonderful passage. As Paul writes this letter to the Ephesian brethren, here's what he says. Let's read verse number 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in the world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things, look at that, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Look at that. Digest that. It is the church that has the power. It is the church that Jesus Christ is saying here, you are the one that I'm going to give all this power to. The Bible said in verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The church ought to be an active portrayal of the body of Christ. I'll sit. A church ought to follow the instructions of the head. The Bible says that a church is his body. We, as an individual local church, Jesus Christ ought to be our head. We ought to do every day what Jesus Christ wants us to do. We ought to be a shining light for him. As we live in this wicked world, we ought to do always what he wants us to do. We ought to submit ourselves unto whatever God wants us to submit to. Whatever it is. I've met some pastors in the past that believed they were the head of the church. I met some pastors that believe that. It was an amazing thing to me, though, when I considered, and I asked a couple of them, I didn't ask too many, because they bite your head off. I said, how did you get to be their pastor? I said to the men, how did you ever get to be the pastor here and lead these people? How did you ever do that? And they would say, well, I was down here in such a place, I was doing something else, and the church called me. Oh, who called you? Who called you? The church did. Oh. So the church called the head to be their head. I don't think that goes over very well. I don't think it does at all. I'm a member of Independence Baptist Church. But I'm not your head. I'm your pastor. I thank God that I'm your pastor. I appreciate each member of this church. But I'm not the head. I am your pastor. Sometimes I don't know what to do, but I always know who I can go to find out. The God always knows. And he leads. And he directs. And his will is the best thing that ever happened. It really is the best thing that ever could happen. He is the one that watches over us. Look in the book of Colossians. Colossians. Chapter number 1 and verse number 17. Here again is a book that Paul wrote. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 17 through verse number 19. Colossians 1 verse 17. And he that is Christ is before all things, and by him all things consist. And you think about the very fact here, while I've read this, it's a very short verse, but this whole world exists because God has given it life. The only way we can ever have life is when God has given us life. He created this world. I'll give you this. It only took him 6 days. Six short 24-hour days to speak this world into existence, okay? It didn't take him billions of years. Nothing like that ever happened. Jesus Christ is before all things, and by him all things consist. In verse 18, and he, at Christ, is the head of the body. He is the head of the body. And in case you don't know who the body is a church. This is what it says. Read it in verse 18. That's what it says. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now, think about what we're supposed to be doing as a church. We're supposed to be glorifying and honoring God. Christ has made all this possible because he has died on the cross of Calvary for us. He has caused us to be scripturally baptized. We have come together with the church, with other members of the church. We're together worshiping the Almighty God. And there's power there. The world don't know what to do with that. The world don't know what to think about that. Did you know that in our church, that we're all different? Should I tell you that? We're not all the same. Some are old. Some are young. Some work at this place. They have this background. Some work at this other place. They have that background. Everybody in our church doesn't do things the same way. Everybody in our church doesn't even think the same way. But you know what? Everybody in our church wants to glorify God and please God and do what God wants him to do. That's it. And together, by God's grace, what is it that we cannot do? You said nothing. That's right. By God's grace, we can do anything. Let me say it like this. It's not because we have the power. It's not because we have the finances. It's not because we have the strength. It's not because we have the ability. It's because God will give to each one of us exactly what we need when we need it. We need to understand that. Because he's the power. On the day of Pentecost, the early church, and it was a church before the day of Pentecost. A lot of people believe that the church is organized on the day of Pentecost. It wasn't. If you believe that your church was started on the day of Pentecost, you're a little late. The church is already there, all right? But on the day of Pentecost, what was it that God did? Let's read that. Let's just read that real quick. It won't take us very long to read that. In Acts chapter 2. I don't want you to see what God did. Because God is the power that unleashes his strength. In the book of Acts chapter number 2. Verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they, that is the church, the group, a local group, they were all together with one accord. And the Bible says then, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Who caused that? Who caused that? God did that. It was not the church that did that. It was God that did that. For what purpose? God was wanting to proclaim his truth. throughout that area. That's why it happened. The Bible said in verse number 3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Notice in this that God was doing something on the day of Pentecost to proclaim the truth to unbelieving Jews. That's what he was doing. But he was using the church that he had already called out, that he had already saved, already scripturally baptized, to proclaim his truth. That's what he was doing. In verse number 2 and verse number 3, that's what God did. In verse number 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Can you be filled with the Holy Ghost apart from the working of God? You can't. You're powerless. You're powerless to do it. Just like this. How many of you were saved because of your strength? How many of you were saved because you did something? I tell you what. When I was saved, I gave up. There was nothing I could do. To reach heaven's portals, I could not do that. I did everything the preacher said to do. I mean, I did it all. As a lost little boy, I even knocked on doors, inviting people to church. I did that, hoping that would save me. Nothing saved me. Nothing I did could ever save my soul. Nothing would work. I tell you what, when I finally just gave up, I mean, seriously, I told God, you might as well just send me straight to hell. That's where I'm going anyway. I was 12 years old. There's no reason for me to be alive. You might as well just kill me right now. I'm going to hell anyway. I'm just giving it up. You know what happened to me? You know what happened to me when I did that? The Lord saved my soul. I didn't expect that. I expected to wake up in hell. I really did. But the Lord saved my soul. I was powerless to save myself. Until you come to the place that you give up on yourself, you can't be saved. As a church, when we come to the place that we reach a place that's impossible for us to get across, that's when the power of God is exhibited the most in our lives. Because to Him be the glory. To Him be the honor. To Him be the praise. It's not in us at all. See in verse 2 and verse number 3 of Acts 2. This is what God did. In verse number 4. Here is what the church did. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They began to speak of the tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They didn't do that by themselves. The power of God came upon them, and that is why they did that. And by the way, churches today need the Holy Spirit of God, but they need a dependence on God. God can open the door. But in many churches, some Pentecostal churches especially, they believe it's something they do. But it's not anything they do. God is the one who gives power. Nobody else. Let's look in the book of John. Again, it's a New Testament book. It's one of the four Gospels. The book of John, chapter number 1. John 1 and verse number 6. John chapter 1, verse number 6. The Bible said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. You can study about the birth of John and how that Zacharias was in the temple and God told him about that. John and his wife had no children. It's impossible for them to have children. But God said, you will. You will have a child. John was unable to speak until the child was born. And when he was born, the ladies all come in to help Elizabeth bear the child. And they were trying to decide on a name. Some said this, some said that. Finally, they asked his dad who his name would be, and he said his name is John, because that's who God said his name is John. So God is in charge of all that. God can absolutely perform miracles. When Jesus saved my soul, I think that was a miracle. It was a miracle. Jesus has preserved my life. I think those are miracles that he's done. He's used providential things to do it, but that's a miracle. And when the birth of John came along, that was a miracle, but it was a providential thing that God did. The Bible said in verse number 7, and the same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the... Now, when the Bible said in verse 7 that through him all men might believe, that did not mean that through John all people would believe. That didn't mean that. It means through Jesus all men might believe. Bible said in verse number 8, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was a true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. He came into his own. That's to the Jewish people. But his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. What a truth that is. Jesus has set it all in motion, that people would have a Redeemer. Jesus has set it in motion that, first of all, we might be saved. And then he's given us, shown us, scriptural baptism. So how important that really is. It's not that a person needs to be baptized to be saved, but I was baptized because I was saved. I wanted to become a member of one of the Lord's churches. I did not understand all of what that meant. I understand more of it today than I ever have. But God has been real good in showing me, as I needed it, the various doctrines that he's given to me. In John chapter number 4, verse number 1, verse number 2. Here's an amazing passage that teaches us about baptism and the authority to baptize. Churches have authority, not earthly authority, but the baptism that we baptize with is a heavenly authority. Let me read this to you. John chapter number 4 and verse number 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. Those two verses right there. When Jesus, therefore, when the Lord had heard how that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John. But Jesus didn't baptize anybody but his disciples. That tells us about authority. The disciples were the ones that baptized. In John chapter number 3 and verse 22, just a few verses back, read this. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there they tarried, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salem, because there was so much water there, and they came and were baptized. So John baptized people. And then in verse number 22, you might think that Jesus was the one that did the baptizing. But if you read it in John chapter 4, verse number 1 and 2, it was not Jesus. It was rather the disciples of Jesus. They baptized. That was before the day of Pentecost, by the way. All that was done. And who baptized Jesus? John. Not for salvation. Brother, he came to be a witness of the light that was his Father. Well, our time is gone, but the calling out of the first church is very important. It's calling out us. God wants us as Independence Baptist Church, as the members here in this church, God wants us to be a continual witness for his power, for his might. God wants us to proclaim his truth always. And there's a lot of things that we can't do. I'll tell you right off, there's a lot of things we can't do. But there's nothing we can't do that God does not give us directions to do. The power is in him. On the day of Pentecost, it was not that the church, it was not some sneak back there, somewhere behind the curtain somewhere, that was pouring out the Holy Spirit. It wasn't that at all. It was God that did that. And that's what we need today, is for God to just turn loose and do with us as he wants. Let his will be done. Let his name be glorified. Let his power manifest itself. Our power will not last. I find as I get older that I get weaker. Right? I still walk three times a day, three times a week. It seemed like three times a day, but it's three times a week. I still do the exercise and all that stuff, but as time has gone on, I've seen a difference in that. Because I get older. I mean, that's it. I just get old. We all get old. We can't do like we used to. But with God, there's no power. No power lost at all. He can do all things. And that's what we're depending on. Not on us. We're rather depending upon Christ to make it all work out. You know, I can't save a soul either. If you're lost, I can't save you. I can't do it. This church can't do it. I tell you who can. Jesus Christ can save your eternal soul. He can wash away all your sins. But you might have to do like I did. You might have to try a lot of stuff. But I tell you what, Jesus will work. Jesus will do a good job. I've been saved a number of years now. I'll be saved throughout all eternity. I know that. I know that. That's so. You know why I know that? Because I have, what's that word? Eternal? Is it everlasting? That's the kind of life I've got. It don't ever quit. It just gets better and better as days go on. That's what kind of life I've got. I don't have that in this body. I've got that in my spirit. And that's how I proclaim it to you, that you can have the same thing I have. Okay? If you're lost today, we invite you to Christ. He can save your soul just as sure as He saved everybody else that's saved in this building. When they finally give up and trust the Lord, He can wash away their sins. He can wash away yours too. Remember, He can save your soul, okay? Let's go on in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that You might use this message pleasing to Yourself. You might do with it whatever You want to do. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we might be faithful heralds, Lord, of Your power and Your might, and Lord, Your ability, that we all might see together, Lord, that we need You more than anything else. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that You might save those who are lost. Help us, Lord, to understand. Help us, Lord, to do what You want us to do. Forgive us today. We pray, Lord, for those who are lost, that You might touch them today. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray.